KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, we have mostly cloudy skies. It's 34 degrees. We look for a chance of rain mainly this afternoon, a high of 45. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Call 641-745-5253. Well, the devastating flooding is giving many people in southwest Iowa foul flashbacks to the disaster along the Missouri River that took place 8 years ago. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst says she remembers well the impact of the 2011 flooding. Ernst visited Fremont and Mills counties over the weekend, and she says she hates that the area is experiencing another similar disaster.
I think we're at a much worse place than where we were in 2011, and just horrible flashbacks from that time. And I know folks are scrambling right now to get to high ground and figure out what their next moves are.
The Republican from Red Oak says it's too early to put a price tag on what repairs may cost after a second major flood along the river within a decade.
We won't be able to get solid estimates yet on how much damage, but looking back to 2011, we can gauge off of that already. We haven't had the water flowing over the interstate system as long as we did in 2011, but we don't know how long it's going to be there. So devastating flood several years back, and I think we're looking at some of the same this time around as well.
Southwest Iowa city and county leaders expressed their frustration to Ernst over not just a repeat of the flooding event, but the fact the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers increased flows from Gabbins Point Dam to 90,000 cubic feet per second before decreasing them. They also complained about a lack of communication and information from the Corps officials regarding the floods of 2019. Ernst says she intends to speak with Corps officials regarding their handling of this flood.
It impacts the folks on the ground down here, and so we've got to figure out, you know, were they releasing as much as they could have released early on? Were they holding it? You know, that was the situation in 2011. They held water way too long, in my estimation. We'll hear what the Corps has to say and hear what some of the solutions might be.
In the meantime, Ernst echoes sentiments of local officials urging residents to stay safe during the floods.
If you are in one of those low areas, if you are near a breach point, if the sheriff is asking you to evacuate, the emergency manager is asking you to evacuate, you darn well better evacuate. We don't want to be out looking for folks, okay? We need everybody to be safe, be smart, go stay with family and friends.
Well, the major flooding events in southwest Iowa were impacting some water plants and wells surrounding them by floodwaters or inundating them. The Glenwood Municipal Utility water plant and wells were completely surrounded by floodwaters yesterday, and customers were being asked to only use water as necessary. They say you should delay the use of washing machines, dishwashers, and other uses so the system can maintain treatment in Glenwood. Officials with the GMU have requested that until further notice, all water use within their service area be restricted to indoor use only, and that residents cut water use by a minimum of 50%. They advise their current water shortage storage facilities contain enough water to serve their customers for about 2 days, as of yesterday, with unrestricted use. Water conservation by customers, they say, will help to extend the period and reduce potential shortages and further restrictions. Based on the current conditions, as of the last report, Mills County Emergency Management Agency, Glenwood Municipal Utilities, and MidAmerican Energy do not have an estimated duration for the restrictions. The restrictions affect the city of Glenwood, Pony Creek area, and Lake Ohana area. And the city of Pacific Junction also receives water supply from GMU, and users there were urged to conserve water. Of course, Pacific Junction was evacuated yesterday as they were inundated by floodwaters, and the city of Hamburg lost its water treatment plant due to flooding. Vice President Mike Pence will travel to Nebraska today to survey damage from flooding in the Midwest. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders tweeted that President Trump requested Pence go to the Midwest to see the damage. Sanders says Pence will be joined by Nebraska Governor Pete Ricketts and Iowa Governor Kim Reynolds. The tweet did not say where in Nebraska Pence would go. Elsewhere in the news, police in western Iowa are looking for a Nebraska man suspected of robbing a convenience store in Council Bluffs early this morning. Bluffs police report the suspect, 28-year-old Ryan Ross of Bellevue, Nebraska, entered a Quick Shop on Avenue G in Council Bluffs at around 2:25 a.m. and demanded money from the cashier. After the clerk handed the suspect an undetermined amount of cash, he fled in his vehicle. Survey video surveillance was able to get the vehicle's license plate information. The suspect, Ryan Ross, was driving a 2018 red Toyota with Texas license plate number KBX6564. If you happen to see him, his picture, by the way, is under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com, or the vehicle, please contact the Council Bluffs Police Department at 712-328-5737 or Crime Stoppers at 328-STOP. You are advised not to approach Ross, as he is considered to be armed and dangerous. Police in Creston report the arrest at around 9:45 p.m. Monday of 29-year-old Matthew J. Davis of Creston. Davis was taken into custody for OWI first offense and later released on a $1,000 bond. Deputies in Adams County arrested a woman Monday night after she was seen operating a four-wheel ATV on a road. The woman, Christine McGlade of Carbon, was known to have not held a valid license. McGlade was taken into custody just after 8 p.m. for driving while barred. The Adair County Sheriff's Office reports that 18-year-old Garrett McLean Walfold of Adair was arrested Wednesday evening for distributing marijuana to a 15-year-old. Walhoved was driving west on Interstate 80 at around 6:25 p.m. after allegedly having just purchased marijuana in Des Moines. He's alleged to have provided marijuana to a juvenile without charge. Walhoved was taken into custody for drug distribution to a person under the age of 18. He was released from the Adair County Jail the following day on a $5,000 cash or surety bond. The Atlantic Police Department reports three arrests from this past Friday. Officers arrested 27-year-old Mark Fredrickson of Atlantic for simulated public intoxication, possession of contraband in a correctional institution, and unlawful possession of a prescription drug. Atlantic Police also arrested 23-year-old Selena Herrera of Atlantic for operating while under the influence, OWI first offense. And Atlantic Police on Friday arrested 26-year-old Cody Mudd of Atlantic on a Montgomery County warrant for failure to appear. Mudd was taken to the Cass County Jail and later released on a custody to the custody of Montgomery County deputies. The other two individuals were booked into the Cass County Jail. The Iowa West Foundation's Board of Directors recently approved $6.4 million in grants and initiatives fundings to 35 nonprofit organizations and government entities in southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska. Among the 2019 Cycle 1 grants and initiatives was that to the Carson Fire Department for personal protective equipment. They received $10,000. The Hancock Volunteer Fire Department received $10,000 for gear and equipment. The Trainer Volunteer Fire Department got $10,000 for an ambulance cot, and the Underwood Fire Department received a thermal imaging camera valued at $8,650. You can see the complete list of recipients from the grants and initiatives under the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. It's quite lengthy. The Iowa West Foundation is one of the largest private foundations in the Midwest, distributing more than $484 million to nonprofits and governmental agencies throughout southwest Iowa and eastern Nebraska since the inception of its grant program. Funding for the grants comes from investment earnings in the Iowa West Racing Association, which receives contractual fees from casino operators Ameristar and Harrah's. And finally, in area news, authorities say a teenage boy from southwest Iowa died after falling inside Snow Canyon State Park in southwestern Utah over the weekend. The incident happened at around 4:15 p.m. Sunday. 13-year-old Elijah Baldwin from Shenandoah was free climbing with no ropes or equipment in the area of the Pioneer Names area of the park. Park officials say he was dead at the scene. The boy had been visiting his mother and two other children. The death remains under investigation. Baldwin was a seventh grader with a Shenandoah Middle School. District grief counselors were on hand yesterday to talk to students at the middle school Monday afternoon. Funeral services for Elijah Baldwin are pending. The Hackett Livingston Funeral Home of Shenandoah is in charge of the arrangements. Last Friday, you may recall, we told you the body of 33-year-old University of Northern Iowa student, a graduate student, was found dead at the Canyonlands National Park in southern Utah. Jonathan Hoag apparently fell 500 feet from the base of Green River Outlook. He was located following a search that began Tuesday. Hoag's car was found near the overlook in the park's Sky Island area, and he was described as an avid hiker who was known for going off trail and traveling long distances. The news was brought to you by Jacobson Plumbing and Heating in Fontenelle. Give them a call at 641-745-5253. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.